Desk drawers, something's died and gone to meet its maker. Keyboard, check. Root account. I pull out the filched S-Key smart card, the laundry sourced from one of Mimetics' suppliers, and type the response code to the system's challenge. One-time passwords are a bitch to crack. Once again, give thanks to the laundry's little helpers. Then I'm logged in and trusted, and it's time to figure out just what the hell I'm logged in to. Malcolm, whose desk I sit at and whose keyboard I pollute, is running an ant farm. There are dead computers under the desk, scavenged for parts, and a dubious Frankenstein server, guts open to the elements, humming like a generator beside it. For a moment I hunt around in panic, searching for silver pentacles and glowing runes under the desktop. But it's clean. Logged in, I find myself in a maze of twisty little auto-mounted file systems, all of them alike. Fuck, shit, curse, damn it, I recite under my breath. It was never like this in Cast a Deadly Spell. I pull out the phone and dial. Capital Laundry Services, how may we help you? Give me a host name and target directory. I'm in, but I'm lost. One sec. Try auto/share/fs/scooby/net/app/user/home/malcolm/uppercase R/cat-bert/world-underscore-domination/manifesto. I type so fast my fingers trip over each other. There's a faint clicking as the server by the desk mounts Scooby's gigantic drive array and scratches its read-write heads, looking for what has got to be one of the most stupidly named files anywhere on the company's intranet. Hold on. Yep, got it. I view the sucker, and it's there in plain text. Some notes toward a proof of polynomial completeness in Hamiltonian networks. I page through the text rapidly, just skimming. There's no time to give it my full, in-depth attention, but it looks genuine. Bingo. I can feel an unpleasant, slimy layer of sweat in the small of my back. I've got it. Bye for now. Bye yourself. I shut the phone and stare at the paper. Just for a moment, I hesitate. What I'm here to do isn't fair, is it? The imp of perversity takes over. I bang out a quick command, mailing the incriminating file to a not-so-dead personal account. Figure I'll read it later. Then it's time to nuke the server. I unmount the NetApp drive and set fire to it with a bitstorm of low-level reformatting. If Malcolm wants his paper back, he'll have to enlist GCHQ and a scanning, tunneling microscope to find it under all the OX dead beef spammed across the hard disk platters. My pager buzzes again. Sitrep. I hit three more digits on the phone. Then I edge out of the cubicle and scramble back across the messy desk and out into the cool spring night, where I peel off those damned latex gloves and waggle my fingers at the moon. I'm so elated that I don't even remember the stack of disks I sent flying until I'm getting off the night bus at home. And by then, the imp of perversity is chuckling up his sleeve. I'm fast asleep in bed when the cell phone rings. It's in my jacket pocket where I left it last night, and I thrash around on the floor for a bit while it chirps merrily. Hello?
Bob?
It's Andy. I try not to groan. What time is it?
It's 9:30. Where are you?
In bed. What?
Thought you were going to be in at the debrief. When can you come in?
I'm not feeling too wonderful. Got home at about 2:30. Let me think. 11 good enough?
It'll have to be.
He sounds burned. Well, Andy wasn't the one freezing his butt off in the woods last night, was he?
See you there.
The implicit "or else" doesn't need enunciating. Her Majesty's extra secret service has never really been clear on the concept of flexitime and sensible working hours. I shamble into the bathroom and stare at the thin rind of black mold growing around the window as I piss. I'm alone in the house. Everyone else is either out, working, or out, gone for good. That's out as in working for Pinky and the Brain, out as in fucked off for Mary. I pick up my senescent toothbrush and perform the usual morning ritual. At least the heating's on. Downstairs in the kitchen, I fill a percolator with nuclear caffeinated grounds and nudge it over the gas ring. I figure I can make it into the laundry by 11 and still have time to wake up first. I'll need to be alert for that meeting. Did last night go off properly or not? Now that I can't do anything about them, I remember the discs. Nameless dread is all very well when you're slumped in front of the TV watching a slasher movie, but it plays havoc with your stomach when you drop half a pint of incredibly strong black coffee on it in the space of 15 minutes. Brief, nightmarish scenarios flit through my head, in order of severity. Written reprimands, unemployment, criminal prosecution for participating in a black bag job for which authorization is unaccountably retroactively withdrawn. Worst of all, coming home to find Mary curled up on the living room sofa again. Scratch that latter vision. The short-lived sadness gives way to a deeper sense of relief, tempered by a little loneliness. The loneliness of a long-distance spook? Damn, I need to get my head in order. I'm no James Bond, with a sexy KGB minx trying to seduce me in every hotel room. That's about the first thing they drum into you at Capital Laundry Services. Washes cleaner than clean! Life is not a spy movie. Work is not romantic, and there's nothing particularly exciting about the job. Especially when it involves freezing your balls off in a corporate shrubbery at 11 o'clock on a rainy night. Sometimes I regret not having taken the opportunity to study accountancy. Life could be so much more fun if I'd listened to the right recruiting spiel at the university milk round. But I need the money, and maybe one of these days they'll let me do something interesting. Meanwhile, I'm here in this job because all the alternatives are worse. So I go to work. The London Underground is famous for apparently believing that human beings go about this world owning neither kidney nor colon. Not many people know that there's precisely one public toilet in Mornington Crescent Station. It isn't signposted, and if you ask for it, the staff will shake their heads, but it's there all the same, because we asked for it. I catch the Metropolitan line to Euston Square, sharing a squalid, rattle-banging cattle car with a herd of bored commuters, then switch to the Northern line. At the next stop, I get out, shuffle up the staircase, go into the gents, and step into the right-hand rear stall. I yank up on the toilet handle instead of down, and the back wall opens